We make a lot of decisions every single day, don't we? Now, many of them are little ones, like, you know, what am I going to eat for breakfast? What am I going to wear? Am I going to cut the grass or go fishing? Fishing sounds a lot more spiritual to me, if you're wondering. These decisions aren't necessarily life-changing, but there are major decisions, major intersections in life that can impact the rest of your life. And the Israelites are now at that kind of intersection here in Leviticus chapter 17. Keep in mind, they are less than 3 months away from entering the promised land. And when they get in there among all those morally and religiously corrupt Canaanites, they're going to have to make a lot of major decisions. But the bottom line decision is whether they're going to follow God in this world or follow the world instead of God. Their decisions tie directly back to the laws and guidelines detailed for us here in chapters 17 through 20. So as we work through these chapters, I want to structure our thoughts and give some timeless principles as we follow along. Principle number one is this: God is honored when people worship Him alone. Now, you might think the Israelites already had that figured out, that God alone is worth worshiping. However, as God delivers some new laws as chapter 17 opens, here's a law that forbids sacrificing any animal apart from the tabernacle system. In fact, it says here in verse 7, "So they, Israel, shall no more sacrifice their sacrifices to goat demons after whom they whore." Now, I got to tell you, this is a shocking revelation here. God is graciously preparing to settle Israel in the promised land, and they're out in the wilderness sacrificing to demons? You got to be kidding me. Now, I would expect God, you know, here to, you know, finally have enough of them, strike them all down, and start over. But then again, aren't you glad God is a covenant-keeping promise? He gives them a new law, and with this, even more grace. God also forbids here the consumption of blood, which was common practice in false worship. The people of Israel are instructed to drain the blood before eating meat. We're told here in verse 11, "The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls." Listen, before anybody knew what we know today, that our very life is dependent on our blood, the Lord uses the blood of the sacrificial animal for atonement because He knew the blood represented that very life. Now, all of this points to Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1:19, and His precious blood. We talk about the fact that we have been purchased by His blood, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Why? Because He's giving His life for us. Blood represents the very essence of life. Jesus shed His blood. That means He is laying down His very life so that we can have eternal life. Now, as we move on here to chapter 18 in the book of Leviticus, we're given another timeless principle. Here it is: God is honored when we follow His word alone. Here in verse 3, God makes it very clear that He's contrasting His laws and the laws of the people from the world. He says here, "You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I'm bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes," that is, according to their laws. Isn't it interesting that the Egyptians and the Canaanites had laws and statutes? But what they considered legal or lawful wasn't necessarily what God considered lawful for His people. And let me tell you, in our country today, we don't follow the dictates even of our own courts. What they consider legal or lawful may not necessarily be biblical. And so here throughout the rest of this chapter, the Lord is going to list, for instance, specific sexual sins that He's going to forbid, sins that Egypt and Canaan would have practiced. God describes these sins here in verse 17 as depravity. He calls them here in verse 22, abomination. He calls them here in verse 23, perversion. And God concludes in verse 30 by saying this: "So keep my charge never to practice any of these abominable customs. They're legal. God calls them abominations. See, God is effectively saying, live according to my word, and you're going to enjoy a life of satisfaction in the land. But if you live like the people of Egypt and Canaan, you're going to be unsatisfied. You'll be as hopeless as they are. Now, we discover here another timeless principle over in chapter 19, and here it is, that God is honored when we imitate his holy character. And verse 2 sets the theme for us here in this chapter. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, what does it mean to be holy? We need to answer that question because, you know, none of us ever arrive at what we would call, you know, perfect holiness. Holiness is not your perfection. It is your pursuit in life. It is your priority in life. In fact, I like to think of holiness as the direction in which your toes are pointed. Now, holiness is expressed here in chapter 19 by such things as respecting your parents, verse 3, not making idols, verse 4, offering help to those who are poor, here in verses 9 through 10. 15 times throughout this chapter, you're going to read, I am the Lord, or I, the Lord, am your God. In other words, this is not based on man's word. This is based on God's word, and God's word is non-negotiable. I remember reading about a famous actor one time who was at one point on his deathbed. His wife came in one day and found him reading the Bible, and she was shocked, and she said, I have never seen you reading the Bible before. Why are you interested in it now? And he said, well, I'm not really interested. I'm looking for loopholes. Well, God doesn't have any loopholes. But don't misunderstand. When God calls us to holy living, he isn't trying to take all the fun out of life. He's wanting to protect us from the consequences and deceitfulness of sin, which leads us to defeat and despair and dissatisfaction in life. God's word to the Israelites and to us that we apply to this day is an expression of his concern and his love for his people. Now, here in chapter 20, God reinforces these principles of holiness by describing 15 different sins he wants his people to avoid. You've got everything in here, including verse 2, worshiping the god Molech, which would have involved child sacrifice, going to mediums and necromancers, that is seeking contact with spirit beings, seeking contact with the dead. In verse 6, you have also here cursing one's father and mother. In verse 9, you've got a host of sexual sins listed here in detail. And let me just add this. God actually has a lot to say today about sexual activity. And let me tell you, it's not a little decision you're going to make, like what you're going to eat for breakfast. It's not a casual thing. It's actually an intersection in life of great significance that can impact the rest of your life. God has actually created us for sexual activity so long as it follows his direction for marriage. But he delivers some very serious warnings here about disobeying his design for sex and marriage. This issue is going to be a crossroads experience for individuals to this very day. And let me tell you, for nations even, just as it was for Israel back then, it's a crossroads for any nation today. Are the people of Israel going to act like the Egyptians and Canaanites, or are they going to act as God's people? God warns his people as he delivers his verdict of holy justice. You know, it reminds me of one of the founding fathers of our country who wrote more than 200 years ago, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. Listen, beloved, these timeless principles are true, not just for Israel, but every generation. And there's no greater investment of your life than to walk with God and join God in His work of reaching our lost, confused, unsatisfied world as we live out the gospel, which includes His verdict, His definition of sin, but forgiveness and freedom in Christ. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.